Today's Next Step episode is sponsored by Nicholas and Janine Economides. Next Step 173, September 29, 2011.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love and about, well, just about everything. In fact, we look at life through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner, and we call that polished book Armenodoxy. So we're inviting you to take a step with us, take the next step with us as we explore all the dimensions of life. This podcast is being brought to you on the Apostles Net Network. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. What is a blessing? Have you ever thought about that? I have contemplated 30 years on what is a blessing. I'm going to share that with you in just a few minutes. Hey, I want to welcome all of you. Welcome everybody who's listening, and especially our listeners from down under. Yes, we made it. We got our first email from a listener down under in Australia. So we are now on 6 continents. I think the only continent missing is Antarctica. We are looking for somebody from Antarctica. If you happen to be listening to The Next Step, please drop us a line and we could claim like worldwide coverage. But for the time being, we are very content with 6, yes, count them, 6 continents. And our listener, her name is Saucy, really appreciated it. Thank you for the beautiful comments and the feedback that you shared. Hey, listen, blessings. I told you, last night, were you with us? Were you with us last night on the questions of faith? Wow, that was exciting. We had as our guest Archpriest Father Sarkis Petoyan, and he joined us and led a really interesting conversation about Mormonism, about, well, differences in Orthodoxy. And if you didn't get a chance to see it, do check it out. It's on our Apostle page. Go to the broadcast tabs, and it has been archived over there, the questions in faith about this topic. And you know, we are in a series right now called "And Who Do You Say That I Am?" based on the scriptural passage where Jesus turns to his disciples and say, okay, everybody's telling you what they believe, now you tell me what you believe about the Christ. And so we are challenging one another with this question. And last night we had a chance to listen to Father Sarkis explain the Orthodox perspective in light of, well, one of the cultic ones, one of the sects, namely Mormonism. And it was very, very fascinating. And yes, thank you. Father Sarkis was the one who challenged me to talk about blessing. But I can't give it to you right now. I have to tell you, I was so excited when this came to me. And I want to tell you that it just really makes a lot of sense. I'm going to share with you in a few minutes what I think a blessing is. It was, I think, about 30 years ago, 1982. I had just become a priest. And Father Sarkis challenged me with this. He says, what is a blessing? Because we give blessings out, don't we? And blessings and glory to the Father. Well, what is that blessing? Have you ever thought about it? What is a blessing? God has blessed me with life. God has blessed me with good friends. We use that expression, don't we? the priest gives a blessing and blessings. And he challenged me, and I was a young priest at the time. And he stumped me for a while, too. But this time, when he was speaking at our church, I says, no, I'm going to preempt him. Before he speaks, I'm going to give him an answer. And I prayed about it, and interestingly enough, this came to me. And it's still, like, resonating in my mind. I want to share that with you in just a couple minutes. We're going to be talking about blessing and what that blessing can be. And it has been an exciting, blessed week. Father Sarkis last night was with us, but I got to tell you, the opportunity. Sometimes I think what a blessing I have in this youth ministry center here in Glendale. I mean, so we've had so many challenges, so many difficult days, and so many blessed days. I've got to tell you that. God has really blessed us in many ways. And I think the biggest blessing has been that I've had this opportunity to really expand in different ways, to really explore the Armenian priesthood in ways that I never imagined were possible. Had I been in a traditional parish, I don't think that we would have had this opportunity. And I've shared with you along the way some of the difficulties. I've shared with you where I am in my head. Like, I've come down to this 30-70 expression that if I can do my ministry for 70% of my time, then I'm willing to put up with 30% of my time doing the other stuff. You know, which is, you have to do. You have to do that stuff. I mean, in any job, in any business. But when it comes to the calling of Christ, you realize that that is a unique calling. And so that the church gives you that opportunity to do that calling. But in order to do that, the church needs to, well, administratively, be sound. It needs to be on sturdy ground. And to get it on sturdy ground, well, you have to do a lot of administrative stuff. So I came up with that formula. Hey, if I could do 30% of the administrative stuff to subsidize the 70% that I want to spend my time doing, then I'm okay. I've got to tell you, 70% of the time, even more this week. What a week. First of all, the launch of Compass. Never expected that. Never expected the kind of feedback that we got for Compass. I mean, it has been coming in. People letting us know that, you know, it is right on target. And tomorrow's Friday. Yes, we should be in studio again. And maybe tonight, but tomorrow, I believe we're going to be in studio to put out the second edition of Compass. And this is by Linda Zadoyan. Just a really good piece of material. It's about a 20-minute show. And if you haven't checked that out, do go to Epostle and check that out. It's one of the podcasts. And I'm happy to tell you that iTunes has picked it up. So it's now on iTunes along with The Next Step. And just exciting, exciting stuff. So we did got the Compass out. During the week, we've had many, many opportunities to explore our faith in ways that have not been pleasant. And let me share with you that bit of news before we go to the song of the day. Tuesday night, we were at the office of an abortionist in Glendale. Now, in Glendale, you've got to remember that we have a large immigrant base over here. We've got immigrants that have come over from the unrest in the Middle East, primarily came over in the 70s after Beirut, the war in Beirut. And now those immigrants have gone off into some of the other suburbs, but Hollywood, Glendale still has some residents from Beirut. In the 80s, with the fall of the Shah in Iran in 1979, in the 80s, we had a lot of Armenians that came from Iran. And then in the 90s, after the fall of communism, a lot of Armenians came from Armenia, and they have settled in the Glendale area. And Professor Dekmejian of USC teaches poli-sci. He refers to our church as being in ground zero territory. It is basically the area that everyone is really forgotten about, that people really don't get out and don't minister to these people. And so we have a really unique setup here in Glendale in that we are trying to minister to the people that usually get overlooked. They're economically not in the best position to be helping. And so sometimes organizationally, you find that the the organizations, including the church, have forgotten about them. So we are ministering in these areas, and this is the Youth Ministry Center that is that has a small little sanctuary, too, dedicated to St. Peter the Apostle. So we call it St. Peter Armenian Church and Youth Ministry Center. And it has occurred to us that in this area, along with all the different problems, there are two big ones that we need to address immediately. One of them is the abortion issue. There are abortion clinics, and there was one that just came to our attention a few months ago, run by an Armenian doctor. Now, without getting into the debate about abortion, and I'm saying this because I think I learned this many, many years ago. If you're going to do a talk show, there's two issues that you can bring up and be guaranteed that you will stir controversy. One of them is the death penalty, right? Talk about the death penalty. The other one is abortion. And you're definitely going to get people on both sides of the issue. And I don't want to go that route, okay? There will be a time when we can discuss and we can talk about abortion and we can talk about it spiritually and the religious ramifications of a decision to make to have an abortion. I'm not going that route. What I am talking about is this idea that abortion is somehow the best means or the only means of birth control. And unfortunately, because it was practiced in the Soviet Union, it has transferred now to people who have lived in the Soviet Union, namely Armenians. And so you have this situation where abortion is being used as a means of birth control. And this is totally unacceptable by anybody's standards. Secondly, you have a generation of young people growing up and understanding that abortion really is that means. And so you've taken away from it the emotional side, which is tremendous. And you know, anybody who has studied, anybody who has gone through an abortion or knows somebody who's gone through an abortion, it's not as easy as just going to a doctor and walking out. There's a lot of emotions, a lot of guilt, a lot of expressions that go unchallenged, that go unchecked, and then later on manifest themselves in different kinds of guilt, in different kinds of expressions that lead to mental as well as physical illnesses. And so we went out Tuesday night in this 40 days of prayer. This is a group that's coming out throughout the United States. It's called 40 Days of Life, targeting abortion clinics. And what they do is that they go and they pray at these abortion clinics. Their idea is not to engage in protest, not to engage the abortionist, but rather to pray. And through that power of prayer, which you Next Steppers know how great it is, how powerful it is, through that power of prayer, understanding that changes can come about. So we were out there last Tuesday along with many people in the community, but we had a fair showing from our congregation, and I asked for many people to pray online, and we were out there praying for these abortionists. The next day that we're scheduled to go out there will be on October 8th. We prayed for the abortionists. We prayed for the young ladies who were availing themselves of this opportunity. We prayed for the boyfriends, the significant others, the husbands who were also part of this equation, who are also struggling, knowing that it's not right, but still pushing their wives, their girlfriends, to have the abortion because they found themselves in this situation of perhaps having an unwanted pregnancy outside of wedlock, sometimes within wedlock. I think one of the most disturbing scenes that I saw was a couple years ago when I was at an abortion clinic and praying outside and seeing an Armenian woman go in with her daughter. And the natural assumption is that the daughter is going in for an abortion and the mother is taking her in. It was just the opposite. It was the mother going in for an abortion, and it was the daughter who was saying, "Mom, please don't do it. Please don't go in there." You don't know how intense that is, what a wake-up call that is, how much work there is to be done. And you know what? That work has to be done. It can't be done by any other organization but the church, because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ stands for life. He stands for that opportunity for happiness, true happiness that comes from within. And so Tuesday night, we were at the abortion center. And now, along with that, as if, you know, like we don't have anything else to do, we're doing our podcast, we're running the youth ministry center. Tonight, Thursday night, we're going to be meeting again at the youth ministry center to talk about domestic violence. Now, if you've been listening to Next Step for any amount of time, you know that we've talked about this quite often. But the wake-up call was, I think, last summer when I was really engaged in dialogue trying to raise some money. And somebody told me that, have you ever tried the Armenian consulate? Perhaps he would be interested in this. And so somebody approached the consulate and talked that, hey, you know, Father Voskin's trying to do some work with domestic violence. And his words, that is not a priority for us in the Armenian community. That is not a priority. Domestic violence issues. Well, of course it's not a priority. It's hidden. People are doing it without letting anybody know. Of course nobody knows. It's the last taboo. And it was the following morning that we heard about Zardawi Petrosyan. Do you remember her? This was a young girl in Armenia who had been, you know, on the wrong end of domestic violence. Not that there's a right end, but had been on the receiving end of domestic violence. And she was killed by her husband and by her mother-in-law. And it was so poignant. It was so dramatic, the timing of that event, because it was exactly a day after I had heard that it is not an issue. It is not a priority. And it's happening all around us. And as a first point of contact, people come to the church. And the church has this unique position of being a place where people are seeking sanctuary. And at the same time, if it doesn't react, then it is guilty, really, of the ultimate sin. Not living up to its calling as the body of Christ. Because if a girl were to run to Christ, what would Christ do? You know it. He did it. The woman who was about to be beaten because she was pregnant outside of wedlock. She was the biblical definition of domestic violence. People were going to be violent on her to the tune of stoning her. And when Christ went, what did he do? He saved her. And the body of Christ has that ability to save these people that are caught in these relationships. So tonight we're going to be kicking off that kind of a dialogue here in Glendale again. Not that there's anything unique about this community. I think that violence is all over. But because of the numbers here in Glendale, because of the concentration of people in Glendale, you have this opportunity really to be a witness to the love and the power of Christ and how it can overcome even violence. So we're inviting people, and if you're interested in this, do drop us a line. Be happy to plug you in, because first of all, we need people to pray on the outside. That prayer is very, very important. Second of all, we need people who are willing to take on some of the responsibility, including being a partner in the hotline. And this doesn't mean that you necessarily have to live in the Southern California area. The beauty of technology is that we are putting together a hotline that will have counselors, that will have people who are trained, and they do not have to be logistically close to the caller, but definitely have to be spiritually close to the entire mission, because what we're trying to do is base this on a very spiritual plane, that this is not about just giving out references, but it's really giving these women an opportunity to know that they are loved and they are cared about. And that's what it all comes down to. So I want to just throw that out at you and ask for your prayers, because it has been a wild week for all of us. I'm going to share with you some of the fun things, too. Actually, do I have time right now? Ken's telling me, get it in right now. I want to go to the song of the day, because I want to talk about blessings. If you remind me towards the end, I'll talk about something really fun. Here is today's song. It is called Blessings our good friend Gor Mkhitaryan.
Kotun hev parabanutyun asenkes terastvat onutsyan hev kohabanutyan okiturmes terastvat tuilerin hev karikavornerin oknis terastvat pahpanir hev imastutyan okiturmes terastvat
Is that a blessing? I mean, it lives up to its name. It is a blessing, isn't it? Wow, I like that. You know, Gor Mkhitaryan, he put out this album called Spirit. This is one of the songs from that album. It is spirit. It's about spiritual. It's actually music for today. It's spiritual music written by an Armenian artist. It's Armadoxy today. I mean, it is beautiful music. If you're interested in getting a Spirit album, I think it's available up on our website at inhisshoes.org, or just drop us a line. We'll be happy to get you a copy out in just a couple days, actually. Our turnover is really good because we've got Lilo. Yes, did you meet Lilo last night? She was producing last night's Questions in Faith. She happens to be doing the Monday morning Bible studies as well. She produces that for Apostle, and she's in our office. We'll make sure that you get a copy of Spirit by Gor Mkhitaryan. Do drop us a line. And like I said, it's also available on our website, inhisshoes.org. Gor Mkhitaryan, oh, have I said enough about this man? What a talent. What a person. He puts that music together, and I hope you enjoyed it. I know you enjoyed it. But how about the name? Blessing. Blessing. What is a blessing? That's what I might be talking about. I got a blessing this week, along with everything else. Do you remember last week on our podcast, I threw out something. I said that, hey, we're faced with a bill. We've got a bill. This podcast costs money. We've got to put it on a server, the microphones, the equipment, everything. I mean, thank God we have a beautiful parish over here that's kind of absorbing all of this stuff, and it's giving us this opportunity. But there are bills that come up all the time. And no sooner had I said that than I received a blessing. I believe it was last Thursday. We was out on the podcast. Friday morning, I received a call from one of our listeners, Janine Nicotomidis from New York. And she says, well, what is that bill? Tell me what it is, and I'll take care of it. And thanks to her and her husband's generosity, Professor Nicholas Economides, I had a wonderful chance to meet them about a month ago, and they were out visiting us on the West Coast. And through their generosity, through this gracious blessing, we were able to pay our bills. And, you know, that's an important thing. And I'm not saying this to embarrass them, and I asked them if it was okay to remember their name, because I wanted to be, the rule, not the exception. I mean, it's so easy to turn this on and listen to it and be blessed by what this ministry is doing for you out there. It's important to respond back to it. Say that, yes, I have received a blessing. Now I want to do something. And I'm throwing this out. Here it is. It's a perfect opportunity. Give us a call. Send us an email. Say, I want to sponsor next week's podcast. I want to be the sponsor for the next step. Be happy to do it. You know, put your name on it. It's telling people that this is important for you. That it's not enough that we build buildings, but we need to fill those buildings with people that have faith. And to come to faith, you need to learn it. You need to be educated. You need to really live Armenian Orthodoxy. This Sunday, as all Sundays, we do a show for the Western Diocese. It's called In Step with Christ. Do check it out. If you haven't seen it, it's at YouTube/Armodoxy. There's the whole channel. But this coming Sunday's episode is interesting because we're going to be talking about discipleship. About being a student of Christ, about being a disciple of Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means not only learning, but applying. I mean, think about it for a moment. You learn, but what good is that learning if you don't apply it, right? Okay, so you know that 6 + 1 = 7. Okay, we learned that. We learned that as students of math, right? Of arithmetic. 6 + 1 = 7. We know that, right? Now, what good is that if you walk into the store and the person says, okay, here's a dozen oranges, and you know what? I'm going to give you one more for a special price. And you cannot figure out that half a dozen plus 1 = 7. What good is that to know that 6 + 1 = 7, but when it comes to practicality, when you see the oranges there, or whatever product it is there, you don't know that 6 + 1 of those products equal 7. It's humorous. It's ridiculous, right? Well, the same thing. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, what good is it that you've learned everything, that you could pronounce everything, that you can run down everything and kind of reiterate everything, but cannot put it into practical application? It's not good at all, right? Well, here's an opportunity. There are so many missions out there that we are working on. We have become a virtual church, meaning that we are a church that's reaching out wherever we can. We've talked about injustice. We are out there talking about Darfur. We're walking in the steps of Christ. We're walking in the steps of those who need help. We are doing our homeless feeds. Next month, we're going to be kicking off In Her Shoes, a walk for breast cancer. We're dealing with issues of abortion, of domestic violence. Well, why? Because if Christ were here right now, his body would be doing that. And the interesting thing is that Christ gave us his body. It's called the Christian Church. Okay, we got to be doing that. So many people can support it. Other people can work with it. Other people can do what they need to do. But at the end, what is it? What's important? It needs to be supported universally by everybody. So if you can't walk with us, if you can't talk with us, if you can't do it, write out a check. Send in a donation. Put it in. Go and press on that button that says donate. It's so easy. And it's so secure. You put it on your credit card. Make it a regular part of your life. Anyway, I didn't mean to do a commercial, but I did. I think you're happy. Actually, I had to do that. Susie's out of town. She is remotely producing this. And I don't know. That's magic. She's going to be doing this from Austin, Texas tonight. Yes, you Austonians, you are lucky. The sunshine is in your state this week. And she's producing this. So she's not going to do the commercial. I'm doing the commercial for her. Okay? So, this all feeds in with blessing, right? Are you ready for it? I'm going to leave you a little bit longer thinking about blessing, okay? Here's Ani with today's Spiritual Bubbles.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is about all your prayers being answered. A voyaging ship was wrecked during a storm at sea, and only two of the men on it were able to swim to a small, desert-like island. The two survivors, not knowing what else to do, agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray to God. However, to determine those prayers should be most effective, they agreed to divide the territory between them and stay on opposite sides of the island. The first thing they prayed for was food. The next morning, the first man saw a fruit-bearing tree on his side of the land. He was able to eat its fruit. The other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely and decided to pray for a wife. And the next day, another ship was wrecked. The only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of the land. The other side of the island, there was nothing. Soon, the first man prayed for a house, clothes, more food, and the next day, like magic, all of these things were given to him. However, the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship, so that he and his wife could leave the island. In the morning, he found a ship docked at his side of the island and boarded it with his wife. Since none of the other man's prayers had been answered, he considered him unworthy to receive God's blessings, and so he decided to leave the second man on the island. But as the ship was about to leave, the first man heard a voice from heaven booming. "Why are you leaving your companion on the island?" it asked. "My blessings are the result of my faith and prayers, since I was the one who prayed for them," the first man answered. "His prayers were all unanswered, so I figured he does not deserve anything." "You are sorely mistaken," the voice said, "and you are in great debt to him." "How's that?" the first man asked. "It was his great faith that invoked those blessings, and he prayed that all of your prayers might be answered." Are our blessings the fruit of our prayers and work alone, or of those praying for us as well? What and who are you praying for? This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. How beautiful. I don't know how you do it, how you find exactly the right story for the right day. Our listeners should know, I do not know what the bubble of the day is. I don't know what the spiritual bubble is going to be until I hear it with you. So it's not like we prepare a show based on the bubble. The bubble just sort of comes around and Ani just picks them. It's beautiful. And it fit exactly the topic we're going to be talking about, namely blessing. I've been teasing our audience about the blessing, and here it is. We talked about this blessing that comes because of the prayer, not of the individual alone, but the prayer that was shared on that island. That was such a beautiful story. Isn't that the case, though? Isn't that the case with all of us? We always think that we are somehow rewarded. I call this the Santa Claus idea of God, that our prayers are somehow rewarded. If we've been naughty, or he knows if we've been naughty or nice, right? And so just like Santa Claus, right? If we've been good, then we get our prayers answered. And if we've been naughty, then we know that our prayers don't get answered. I mean, there's a reason why the prayers don't get answered. And we kind of put Santa Claus, or I go a little step further and I say that we mistake God for Santa Claus, right? And if you really believe what God is, I mean, that love is constantly giving. If you believe that God is love, then that love is constantly the answer to every prayer. So anyway, Ani, perfect. It just leads right into the discussion today that I want to have about blessing.
Blessing.
Okay, I have teased you long enough, haven't I? I've given you the song, the blessing song, beautiful Ani's little bubble about blessings. I've been telling you about blessings that we received in our ministry. Now I'm going to tell you about blessing. This actually happened, and it came to me that I couldn't avoid this topic today. I have to share this with you, because it really came to me. I don't want to get too mystical about it, but it was a mystical experience. This takes place about 29 years ago, and I had just become a priest, and Father Sarkis Patoyan, who is now serving in Pasadena, he was a deacon at the time, and he would come to our church regularly up in San Jose. And I guess as a young student, he was confounded by this word, blessing. What is a blessing, he asked me. And as a young priest, I kind of like skirted the issue. What is a blessing? Okay, we say it, and blessings and glory to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Does God need a blessing? Do you need a blessing? Do I need a blessing? And all this time, you know, for the last 29 years, it's been sort of like, it hasn't been my koan in a sense, but it has been something that's been in the back of my mind. Every so often I'll think about that word blessing and I'll say, you know, he did ask me a question and I never answered it properly, did I? And so it's just been annoying me because we use it so freely. I mean, when something goes good, what do we say? We say, I've been blessed. I've been blessed with good health, with good friends. You go and you say a blessing over someone as a priest. How many times? Father, will you give us a blessing? Father, will you bless this cross? That's happened to me. Like, you know, the people see me in a hospital. They'll say, can you give us a blessing? I mean, in our rituals, in the Armenian Book of Rituals, it's called the Mashtots, there are blessings for all kinds of things. I mean, things that were very, very pertinent in the lives of the people. There is a blessing over the water well. Yes, well, obviously, you needed water, and without water, you can't survive, and so there was a unique blessing for the water well, Churhorotnelu. Now, do we do that today? I haven't done it, and, you know, it's like today you have tap water, you have sparklets, you have Arrowhead, they bring it right into your home, into your business, into your personal life. Do you bless them? No, but in the old times, you would bless the water hole. You would bless cattle. You would bless salt. Up until today, we bless the salt that is used to go into the foods. Madahornelu, you bless the salt that has been put into the sacrifice, into the offering that you offer to the homeless people. There are all kinds. There are blessings that are given when a first time a child has his hair cut. Yes. First time a child is haircut, and many times people have brought their children to me with beautiful, beautiful. Now, I'm a sucker for long hair, so I really get upset that I have to do this one little ritual, but they demand it, and they are the parents, you know. But they ask me to say a blessing as they're cutting off these beautiful locks over these kids. Kids should never get haircuts. You shouldn't get your hair cut until you're about 13 or 14, until you start growing facial hair, and then it just kind of like melds into the whole thing, and it doesn't look too cool. You've got hair on your head and on your face. Then it gets into the werewolf category. But, you know, it's such beautiful locks. You shouldn't be cutting it off. Anyway, there is a ritual for that, too. There is a blessing for that, too. One of the most strangest blessings that I've had to deal with is the blessing for one who is in delivery. Yes, there is a special blessing when a woman is having a difficult time delivering. Now, this is a true story. I'm debating whether to tell you, but I will tell you because it is kind of cool. It's funny. That's why it's cool. This is a true story. Early in my ministry, one family knew about this service, and the wife was going through a very difficult delivery. And so the husband called me and said, Father Voskin, can you go and visit my wife? She's in labor and she's having a difficult time. Also, he was out of town and he was just on the plane. He was calling from the airport and telling me that he was just arriving and he needed to be at the, he was going to make it. And could I meet him at the hospital? And she was going through a very, very difficult time. So, you know, young priest, I get my book of rituals, my mashtots in my hand, my little bag of tricks, and I'm off to the hospital. And I go and I see her, and she is definitely having a difficult time. I said, you know, your husband called me and asked that I offer this prayer for you. And she just looked at me and, you know, sweat and difficult times. And so I recited the prayer. And then she looked at me. And she looked at me with such sincere eyes and a beautiful voice. She said, Father Voskin, would you mind leaving the room? I think I'm going to throw up. And it was kind of one of those moments that make you realize, okay, this priesthood stuff is good, but, you know, there's a reality. That's why some of you kind of ask me, how come I'm so real? How come I don't take all these services for the value that they give as far as being, like, mystical and really, well, religion has to touch every part of our real life, and there are real lives, and you do get nauseous in real life, even when you do... even then when there's a young priest praying for you. Anyway, that was just a small little story I had to share with you because it drives home the point about blessings. Blessings are given, blessings are received. And this young man, Father Sarkis, as a deacon, he asked me, what is a blessing? And I have struggled with that and struggled in a real sense because I want to give people answers. People who know me know that I'm the kind of person that, you know, I like to find answers. I like to find solutions to problems, and this has been a problem. And so last night I had invited Father Sarkis to come and lead the Questions in Faith series that we have. It was going to be talking about Orthodox response to Mormonism. And I figured in the introduction, before introducing him, I would let people know that our friendship goes back some 30-40 years, and I wanted to share with the people that he had asked me this question that has really haunted me for 30 years. What is a blessing? And mind you, I could open up a dictionary, and I've never really wanted to do that, I guess. Maybe along the way I have looked up blessing, but the other night this just came to me. And I want to share it with you for the first time. Well, we've shared it last time, but first time with my worldwide audience, because it just makes so much sense. A blessing. How would I describe? How would I define a blessing? Here it is. A blessing is luck without the element of chance. You like that? It's cool, right? Blessing is luck without the element of chance. Does God bless you? Yes. Is there any chance involved? No. There's no gamble. It's just, there it is. And when you are blessed, you have that luck. But you don't have to worry about it. There's no chance involved in it. You get it. That's it. That's it. And it clicked. It made sense for me. And I was going, wow, the puzzles, the pieces, they come together. Blessing. It is luck without the element of chance. Think about that for a moment. It works. It works. What is a blessing? The guy on the island, right? He's praying. But he got the blessing. Why? Not out of chance. He got that luck. Guaranteed. That was the blessing. But there was no chance involved. It was the answer to the prayer, right? I mean, try it. Use this definition in place of blessing. And it works. You have good health. You have good family, you have people that you like. It is a blessing, right? Why? You've got the luck. But there's no element of chance. Think about that for a while. Think about it this week. I wanted to share this with you, my next steppers. Because, you know, faith, religion, what we do over here, it's a process. So many times people are so quick to say, this is what God is, this is what he believes, here's the dogma, open up this book, read this. No, it is a process. Have some fun once in a while. Take a deep breath and realize that these answers are part of a process. God is giving you something greater than the answers. He's given you a brain. He's given you heart. He's given you expression. He's given you touch. He's given you feel. Experience all that God has given you. And you'll find that the answers do come. They may take a while, but so what? I mean, that's the fun of it. That's the fun. God wants you to have fun. Play with them. Okay, play with these thoughts. You know, it's like that little bit of sand inside the oyster. I know. It's annoying. It's sometimes those questions that you want in life. I'm not talking about blessing alone. I'm talking about the big questions in life. You know, don't be scared to engage in a dialogue with God. Don't be scared to expand your horizons, to think, to reason, to put it in perspective. And like that little piece of sand, you know, you let it spin around inside of you, you'll see that a pearl will come out. You see that you can process it into a pearl. And that's the beauty of life. That's the beauty of what we do over here. That's what we call armadoxy. It's not something that has just been given through you through the centuries that the forefathers, that the church fathers have handed down to you. They've given you the best part of it. And now you are a part of, well, the process. Don't get caught up into thinking that faith is just something that comes to us from ancient times. That's something that comes to us and is delivered through the channel of history. Yes, history is important, but you are part of that equation too. And that's why we call this Armenian Orthodoxy, for today, Armadoxy. In other words, it is a process and you are part of it. You could think of it as a chain where that first link is Jesus Christ coming to us from the beginning of all time. And through the centuries, through the eons, there have been other links. There have been other links in that big process, in that chain. And now you are the final link, but not for long. There will be other links that will link onto you if you're brave enough. If your faith allows you to be a living link, an open link, you're not looking for just to be a conduit for history. You are putting your impressions onto history. So that history comes to you and you have all of this beautiful tradition, but now you have arrived. And it's up to you to take that blessing, to realize that you are here not because of chance, that you are lucky. But it's not because of chance. It's because you are a blessing. And now it's your turn to open up, to reveal the pearl that's inside of you, to take that bit of sand and twirl it around inside of you and produce a pearl, to be the continuation of Armadoxy today. That's it. That's how simple it is. It's not about the past alone. It's the past coming together today to create a future. And this beautiful process is one that God has entrusted to us, has given us. Let's play with it. Let's be the ambassadors of Armadoxy today. Never fearing, because God loves us. And as long as we can do it with respect in our heart, with love in our heart, we know we're doing the right thing. You are a blessing. God has given us a blessing, and it has nothing to do with chance. But I do feel lucky to be able to deliver Armadoxy today. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I know today was a very special one for me. It was a thrill producing it, and I'm glad you joined us today. Listen, I want to invite you throughout the week to join us at the different venues that we have. We are at inhisshoes.org, where you can see all the things. That's the mothership of all motherships, okay? You can see all the things that we're involved in. But do go to epostle.net, where you'll find today's podcast, as well as all of our podcasts, including the new and soon-to-be number 2 edition coming out of Compass with Linda Zadoyan. Also, we have other podcasts throughout the Lenten season that you can pick up and make a Lenten season for yourself. You can listen to our Easter podcasts and a lot of broadcasts, including our educational series, the In Step with Christ, and the Questions in Faith series. And we do have Armenian language programming as well. all kinds of stuff. And we'd love to have you join us. Do join us any way you can. Get on board on our web pages. Drop us an email. Join us on Facebook. We are Epostle, St. Peter Armenian Church, Youth Ministry Center. Hey, if you happen to be in Glendale, do stop by and see us. We're at the corner of Kenilworth and Concord. You can't miss us because there's no parking. Just follow the group of people walking to church. Yes, it's an amazing phenomenon, but it does happen. Hey, listen, the most important way you can get in touch with us, pray. Keep this ministry in your prayers. Keep all of our work in your prayers. Do visit our website to see what's going on. Follow our blogs and pray, pray, pray. Most important thing you can do. For the wonderful crew who put today's podcast together, I want to thank everybody for joining us, especially the sponsors of today's show, Nicholas and Janine Economides, for Ani with her beautiful bubbles, for Susie, who is producing this from way out there. Yes, this feed is coming to you from Austin, Texas. And for Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.